All right, so we are going to end our last sermon series here on suffering. It's been a good series for me. It's been a learning series for me, and hopefully it has been for you guys as well, for us to just process how we suffer. And not only that, last week we looked at some potential things that suffering can produce in us. And so this week we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 1 verses 1 through 7. Brandon Wright is fortunate to be alive. I don't know if you heard the story is on the news 2 years ago, but this young man, this 21-year-old, was driving his motorcycle to Utah State University when, as he was pulling into the university's parking lot, another car came out and crashed, and he flew off his bike and was rolled over. The car literally rolled over him, and he was stuck underneath. As you can imagine, on a college campus, people started to kind of come around, and all of a sudden his bike and the car started on fire. The passenger got out, but this man was trapped underneath the car and was motionless. They thought he might be dead, but they heard groaning sounds. Thankfully, one person started to lift the car. Of course, he couldn't lift the car on his own. And more people joined in until literally a dozen people lifted this car up while another person dragged him out. Brandon Wright was saved because some people saw his situation, saw his pain, and did something about it. Well, I open up the sermon this morning with this story because you and I will face similar circumstances. Now, I've never come across an accident scene like this, and I guess that you probably won't as well. But the reality is that we have people who have been knocked down in our midst. We have people who feel trapped by different things. Maybe it's the trap of feeling that they got a terrible new diagnosis of cancer and it weighs them down. Maybe it's a broken relationship or terrible things are going on with their kids. Maybe it's just struggling with being single and wondering what God's going to do, if he's ever going to provide that person for them. I mean, we could go on and on. Maybe it's depression or suicidal thoughts. I mean, if you look at the stats of the brokenness of our people, it's pretty overwhelming. I mean, over 10% of adolescents, 8% of the adolescents have symptoms of depression, and 54% will use illegal drugs or alcohol. We'll have people who have been physically or sexually abused, and a third of us, I was shocked, a third of us will get cancer in our lifetime. I mean, 80 people will commit suicide. The number of people who are feeling trapped around us is staggering if we actually stop to think about it and look at it. And why I want to start our sermon with kind of this drastic story and some of these scary stats is because I want us to recognize that we live in a broken world, that there are hurting people all around us. And we face similar circumstances or choices as those people who say Brandon Wright. That you and I will have a choice whether we will be there and do something for them, if we will help them, or if we'll get on with our day. And I don't think we think about it in these drastic terms that often, but really those opportunities exist for us if we see them. Last week, as I said, we talked about some of the potential positives that can come out of suffering. How suffering has this ability, kind of like a drought, to uncover things that you didn't even know existed under the surface. How suffering can act like the weight of and forces that create a diamond or the refining process, and how it can create hope and character and perseverance in us that we didn't even know we had. But today, in today's passage, what we're going to see is that suffering can also provide us with a unique mission. What we're going to learn is that God has comforted us so that we can comfort others. And so suffering doesn't just provide us with a mechanism of growth, and we talked all about all the ways that we can suffer, but it also, God has allowed you to suffer to create a unique mission inside of you, a unique set of skills and challenges that you face so that you can provide a source of comfort from others from the comfort that God has received. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 7, we're going to look at page 8. It's on page 809 if you have a Bible that we provided for you. And it says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. What I love about Paul is he doesn't mince any words. Paul's a man who talks a lot about suffering, but in this passage, he talks about comfort a lot. 10 times, actually. It's 10 times out of the 30 times that the word comfort is used in all his letters. It's right here. And what Paul wants us to realize is that God offers us comfort. But he starts by acknowledging a truth that we all need to come to grips with right off the bat. And that is this: that God is a God of compassion and comfort. When we suffer, when we go through bad things, I don't know about you, but for myself, when I suffer, I can get this distorted view of who God is. When I go through simple things and simple inconveniences and big things in life, sometimes I can have this tendency to view like God's angry at me, or that he's frustrated with me, that he's kind of sticking it to me. And we can live in this distorted view of God for seconds. God, why'd you do this to me? And we can be frustrated, or we can be in that spot for years. But Paul wants to challenge us that when we suffer, we need to start from the absolute truth, which is stuff we've looked at earlier, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. But it's this: that God is good. He is a God of mercy and a God of comfort. We see this in both 2 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. Twice he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort." And when we suffer, we need to make sure that we have the right view of who God is. That's where Paul wants us to begin. He wants us to recognize that we need to view God as a God of comfort and compassion. And we need to speak those truths into our lives, that we aren't shaped by our feelings or by our emotions or by the distorted view of God that we think he may be, but rather we replace those things with the truth of Scripture, a simple truth. That God is God, that he is sovereign, but he is also a God of compassion and comfort. So before we move on, if you're suffering, I want to ask you this. How do you view God when you suffer? Do you view him as aloof, maybe so far away from it that he thinks he's not even a part of your life? Or worse, yes, do you view him as angry or vindictive, trying to stick it to you? Or do you trust that God is allowing the suffering to happen, but he's also working through it, and he's offering your suffering, he's offering his comfort to you in the midst of suffering? Do you view God as a God of compassion and a God of comfort? See, the image that Paul wants us to begin with, the image that he has here of God in the very beginning, is that of a parent who comforts his child in his pain. And when we suffer, we need to begin with the proper view of who God is. But Paul doesn't stop there. Paul says that God isn't this hoarder of comfort, like he's a comforter, but he just decides not to issue it or to hold it onto his own, that he just chooses to ignore your pain and let you suffer. Rather, Paul makes it absolutely clear that God comforts us. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." See, sometimes when we suffer, we can have this idea that God isn't really working, that God isn't really in our lives. And Paul wants to challenge us to see that God is actively comforting us. Even if it doesn't feel like God's presence is there in the midst of suffering, Paul reminds us of one thing, that God's ultimate comfort for us is found in Christ's suffering. He says this over and over again. He says it in 1:5-7, that Christ, the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so through Christ our comfort overflows. What he's saying here is that Christ's suffering is the ultimate comfort that we can receive. And it may not seem like that's really the case. How could somebody suffering offer us comfort? But what he's trying to teach us is really the basics of the gospel. That yes, you and I suffer physical ailments. We can suffer mental anguish and pain. We can suffer through relational conflict. That we can suffer through any kind of thing. But the ultimate suffering that you and I have comes from sin. He reminds us that our biggest problem isn't just financial, isn't just emotional, isn't just relational. It's that you and I have a problem that we can't fix. It's our sin. And the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. Now, we don't like to think of our sins. That's why we spend time doing confession every week to kind of keep it in front of us so that we don't just gloss over it. But I think if we're honest, even if you're not a Christian here today, we have a certain standard of who we think we should be. I have a certain standard of the kind of pastor and the dad and the husband I'm going to be. Maybe you have the standard of your wife or you have at a job or as a kid. But the reality is I really kind of come here. I don't ever really live up to that. There's a gap between who I think I should be, who I want to be, and who I really am. Well, the Bible tells us that God's gap is way up here. His standards are even higher than yours and mine. And there's a gap there that exists. And this gap creates a relational problem between him and I, that and you and him, that this gap breaks the relationship that we have with God. In our sin, we've created this gap, and there's no way for us to fix it. God's a just God, and he seeks justice for our sins. He needs this gap to be fixed. And what the Bible teaches us is there is no way that you and I can accomplish that on our own. And because of that, we have suffering that awaits us. Eternal suffering. But God is also a gracious God. A God who doesn't leave us in this state. That He, God the Father, sent God the Son to come and die on a cross to suffer on our behalf. That even though Jesus lived the life that God had established as the goal and the envisioned of what it should be, that he didn't suffer any of the consequences of his life because he didn't have to do it. But instead he suffered the consequences of ours. That he died on the cross, and not only did he suffer an excruciating pain, he suffered the wrath of God on yours and my behalf. And this is the truth that Paul wants us to see. That Christ's suffering, that suffering, and him offering that comfort to us can provide us the ultimate comfort that we need. That he freed us from eternity of suffering. That he freed us to have peace with God here on this earth. And that he offers it to us as a free gift. And what Paul wants us to wrestle with in these opening passages is whether or not we've responded to that gift. Whether or not we've acknowledged the work that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, telling us that this story of who Christ is, that he died on a cross, that he suffered the wrath of God for our sins, is true, and that we put our trust in him, that we've acknowledged that there's nothing we can do to create, to fill that gap and to make God love us. But he reminds us that Christ suffered so that you and I can have comfort, that we can have spend eternity with God. And so in these opening verses, he wants us to recognize that God's already provided us with the ultimate comfort we need. It's the comfort of salvation. It's the comfort that comes with having a restored relationship with God. And if we don't have that, then we're going to miss out on the true comfort that Christ offers and that God offers. So I want to ask you, have you put your trust in Christ? have you acknowledged that you have a brokenness in you and sin that can't be fixed? And if you haven't trusted Christ, we can talk about that. But this is the basis of all God's comfort. This is the ultimate comfort that God gives, that Christ died on the cross for our sins and offers us peace with God and relationship with Him instead. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't necessarily comfort us in other ways. But what we need to recognize is that there's a process to the way that God works. And the first thing we need to do is to recognize our own afflictions. And afflictions is not just like external things. It's not car accidents or it's not even just cancer or anything that can happen outside of us. It can be an internal anguish. It can be that lack of peace that we can have. It can be the depression and all these things. This is the afflictions that you and I can face. And what Paul says implied in here is that if we're going to be receive comfort, we got to recognize it. He says that God comforts us in all our troubles. We need to know what those troubles are. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to focus on those things too often. I kind of like to just gloss over them. I can get busy and I can find excuses for me to ignore them. But what God says is we need to have this honest self-evaluation about who we are and the hurts that we have. That we don't just sweep it under the rug, but rather we recognize them. We recognize that we have hurts. We recognize that we need God. We recognize that we need His comfort, and we recognize that we need His help. This is the first step. So I want to ask you some questions just to get you thinking, and I want you to think about these this week. Maybe take this little sermon note sheet that you got and put it on your steering wheel, or write these questions on your phone and have it pop up as a task, whatever it may be. But think about these questions. When's the last time that you really stopped to think about your faults and sin in your life and the pain that it caused you? Maybe it's the sin of other people, but what are your hurts? What are the internal and external afflictions that you're struggling with? And what impact have they had on your life? And are you willing to be honest about your pain, or do you try to ignore it? See, we have people in our midst, and we have it in our own life where our marriages can be in a rough spot, or where our kids can be making bad choices and causing us pain, where our job can just weigh us down and it can be brutal, where we can be insecure and feel like we always have to achieve and that we'll never be good enough. I mean, we can have these hurts. And what Paul wants us to recognize is that we all have them because we're broken and because of the sin in our world. But we need to be honest about them in order for us to receive comfort. The next thing that we need to do is to recognize the comfort and the healing work that Christ has done in your life. See, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:4 that God comforts us in all our troubles. We may not see it always. We may not always be aware of it, but the reality is that God works in our life. Flip ahead a couple of slides, but a couple of weeks ago we used this example of sometimes we don't see the beauty around us, the stars, because there's the sun in our face. But when it gets dark and when life can get really difficult, we can see the beauty of the stars around us. And comfort works the same way. What Paul wants to teach us is that God's comfort is all around us. It's always there. That He's working in big ways and small ways. We just don't always recognize it sometimes because of all the things that are happening in our life. And sometimes it takes suffering and the dark and the bleak times for us to see those and to acknowledge them around us. But the truth that He communicates in this passage is this: that God comforts us in all our troubles, in the big ones and the little struggles of life. And we need to look for Him working in our life. We need to look for the ways that He's offered us that comfort. Sometimes when we read a passage like this, we can think it's the big way. We want to have the testimony where, like, God works and boom, He does a miraculous thing. He breaks the shackles off of our things that weigh us down, like Paul and Silas in prison. And that's the way He works. But the reality is God often chooses to work through the small things. He puts people in our lives to be a listening ear when our marriage is in shambles or when we're grieving the loss of a loved one. He gives us the strength and the peace that we need just to get through each day when our job is just absolutely terrible and we wonder if we can even get through another day. See, God works in small ways more often than big ways. And what Paul wants to challenge us to do is to recognize the way that He's working. The second thing that he notes is that God's continually comforting us in our troubles. He's always at work around us. We may not always see it, but the Greek verb that he uses here is that God is always continually doing that. And even though we may not feel it, the truth of Scripture is that God is providing us with that comfort if we put our faith in Christ. That He's working even when we can't see Him. He's got our lives in His hand and He's working in our hearts. And what Paul wants to challenge us is to recognize those times. To look at those ways that God has offered us comfort. It just didn't happen that person asked you that question that let you just let everything out. God was working in that person. It just didn't happen that you had strength to get through each day. God gave you that strength and that little bit of peace that you needed. And what Paul wants to challenge us to do is when we suffer, that we acknowledge the work that God is doing, even when it doesn't seem like it or feel like it. So this week I want to ask you to spend some time thinking about how has God comforted you in your struggles? It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. But the reality is that God's comfort is working around us even when we may not see it. The challenge for us when we suffer is that we stop, that we acknowledge our hurts, but we also acknowledge how God's been comforting us and giving us this peace. But God didn't just hoard things. He didn't just keep His comfort to Himself. He comforted us. And there's a mission implied with that. If God comforts us in our struggles and in our afflictions, He wants us, He calls us to comfort others as well. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says that God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, that's why recognizing our own comfort is so important. It's so that we can offer that same comfort to others. It's so that we can share the hope that we've gotten with them. It's so that we can be those people who are offering us comfort and do that to other people. This is who God's really called us to be. But there's a process to this as well. And the first process is we got to be honest about our hurts and our shortcomings to others. You see, God says that we have to share our comforts. But if people only know the good things in our lives, they never know about our comforts. I mean, it's implied in here. It's not like overtly stated in the text. But the reality is, if we're going to share how God worked, we got to share where we were in the beginning. That yes, we had doubts. Yes, cancer put us in a state of depression. That yeah, our marriages aren't as perfect as what we think. Or the facade that we may put on. That yeah, kids can be a challenge. That yes, our job wasn't always fulfilling. We got to be honest about that so that people know that we're imperfect people, but God's offering us comfort too. And we need to have that kind of posture of humility where we don't just focus on our own stuff, but that we have eyes and ears that are open to the hurts of other people. That we are free because of the comfort that God has given us to look into the lives of others. To hear what they're saying and to recognize that there's hurts and needs and we need to reach out to them. One of my favorite stories that I've seen about people who have gone through difficult times comes from a story that a pastor said about how there was a man who had heard about two teenagers who were killed in an auto accident in his small town. At that funeral, there was over 1,000 friends and family members. But there is one guy who waited in line and made a point to talk to both of the parents who had lost kids. And when he came and shook their hands, he gave him a card and he said, "I don't know your sons. I don't know you. But I lost a son 2 years ago. And I know the pain and the hurt. I know the confusion that you're going to feel and the anger and the doubts. And I just want you to know that I'm here to talk to you. And so if and when you're ready, here's my phone number, here's my name, but I want to extend this to you." What Paul tells us is that you and I have faced difficult circumstances and that there are people in our life that are going through similar things. And that there is no one who is more uniquely qualified to offer hope and comfort to them than one who's gone through those circumstances themselves. It's why we have a heart for infertility at this church. It's why we do Club Hope, because that's part of our story. It's why sometimes when we go through different circumstances, you may have gone through a tough spot in a marriage. Maybe you've even gone through a divorce and you know what it's like. Maybe you know what it's like to get that terrible diagnosis and to wonder, well, there's people around you who are going through that. Maybe you know what it's like to be in a dead-end job and feel pointless and struggle with one whether or not it's going to ever get better or whether or not you can even get through each day. Well, there's people who are struggling with that. And what Paul says is that God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And we need to recognize the hurts of those around us, and we need to reach out. That we need to offer that comfort to others. 2 Corinthians 1:6, he ends this passage in such a powerful way. He says that if we were distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you a patience endurance of the same kind of suffering. He has this tie to their sufferings and his sufferings and their sufferings, to his comfort and their comfort. And he acknowledges that God has placed him uniquely, yes, as an apostle, but God has uniquely placed each of us in the lives of people around us. Not to hoard our comfort, not to be so self-focused, but rather that we can have hearts of compassion and mercy, just as God had heart of compassion and mercy to us. That we can look and hear and listen and be that source of comfort to others. That's the challenge that Paul's laid out for us in this passage. It's one of the good things that can come from suffering. That God can use your suffering as a comfort to others. I'm not saying suffering's easy. I'm not saying this is gonna fix everything. But it's one of the purposes that God can use. And it's one of the ways that God can use your hurts and your good and your pain for good. So this week, I just want to challenge you. Maybe try and have sensitive ears to really listen to the hurts around you. God's placed you in where He is, in your business, in your job, in your commute, in your van pool, in your family, for a reason. And I want to challenge you to listen to those around you and be sensitive to their pain. Now, people may not always come and blabber everything and tell you everything. Sometimes it may just be a little snide comment that you hear about how, you know, a tough thing that they're having with their parents or with their kids. But listen for those things. Be sensitive to it. Pray. Maybe that one should have been the first one, but pray that God would provide you with those opportunities. And that you can be a comforting presence to those people around you, especially if you listen to that. Pray, God, I hear that there's some pain here, and let me be that presence to them. And then extend comfort. Comfort doesn't come from having all the answers. Comfort doesn't come from necessarily doing everything exactly perfect. Comfort can just be listening when someone's going through a bad day. Comfort can come from acknowledging the pain. Hey, look, you look down today. sorry. Comfort can come from just saying, I heard you say this about your dad. Is everything okay? And asking questions. Comfort doesn't come from just token responses. It comes from being with people and inviting them into deeper relationships with them. And what this passage says is that you and I are called because of what Christ has done, because God has comforted us, to be that comforting presence to others. So I want you to think about it this week. Who's one person that you can comfort and what can you do? I don't know about you, but I actually get excited about this. Because I know the impact that people's comfort has had in my own life. I know that there's a ton of difficult things that I would never have gotten through had people not been there for me. Had they not prayed for me? Had they not listened to me? Had they not let me share my hurts and my concerns? And I'm excited to think about how God can use me and use all of you to have that kind of impact into people's lives. Could you imagine if you were known as the person who offers comfort? If Crossway Church was known for people who aren't all about themselves and all worried about their own things, but actually bothered to stop and talk and listen about the hurts that are happening in other people's lives. That we aren't just going to pass through our days, but we're going to band together and carry each other's burdens, as Paul says in Galatians, and help people get through the difficult times. And the people aren't just outside these walls, they're here too. That we can be the church that steps up and helps and listens and does those things. And you guys do a great job of it. I mean, when tragedy happens and you're made aware of it, you guys step in. But I want to challenge you to not wait till somebody announces their pain, but to be initiative in hearing their pain, even if they don't state it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can have comfort, can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God comforts us. He has comforted you and me so that we can bring this mission and meaning to our suffering, and that we can comfort others with the comforts you and I have received. Let's pray.